Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Forecast is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Forecast is brought to you by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync App Link. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice, so you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Check it out in the 2012 Ford Fiesta and at Ford.com/technology. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly, all streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast, episode 98. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Scott Johnson.
98, Scott Johnson.
Two away from 100, Tom. Let's
two
celebrate.
Away from 96.
Oh, on wait.
Go in the other direction.
Oh, the direction. Yeah, let's go negative. Let's start working back to one.
This is Forecast. We have to look to the future. Joining us today to share their visions of the future, Tasha Robinson, writer, editor, critic of AV Club / Film and more. Welcome, Tasha.
Hi there.
Nice to have you along.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for persisting through technological horror to get here.
My prediction for the future is that someday there will be technology that does not react badly to me touching it.
Or isn't solved by turning it off and turning it on again.
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's going to be a millennia where that's not true.
That'll always be true. It's an eternal. Also joining us, Bill Duran, prop builder, costumer, and photographer. Welcome, Bill.
Hello.
Good to see you again. I've gotten to know Bill at conferences throughout time.
That's right.
Dragon Con.
Yes, he is also, I should mention this, on the morning stream, my morning show. He is what we call our fitness geek. He comes on Tuesdays and helps us not be fat.
Is it working? You're looking good.
Yeah, it's totally working. Yeah. Sure.
Nice job, Bill. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Scott, most of the fat he's losing is from his head.
Yeah, well,
that's,
you know,
sadly.
These things happen. Let's start off with a prediction from one of our listeners. Ed wrote in and says, someone will invent a way to clean up Earth's atmosphere. That's hopeful. Raising the oxygen ratio of our air. This will lead to larger breeds of plants, animals, and humans, like in the Mesozoic era. Only this time, we're the dinosaurs.
Whoa.
So we're all going to turn into huge people because of the oxygen. I'm not sure there's scientific basis for this, but I like the spirit of it.
There's that episode of Gilligan's Island where some strange vegetables wash up on shore and everybody becomes soup or something. I don't think this is quite the same, but yeah, I mean, I don't know how much scientific basis there is for that, but I'm all about more oxygen. I would like to breathe freer, perhaps. I'm a little high on the, above sea level sort of level. And there are days where I realize that a 3-mile jog is winding me more than it might if I lived in Florida. So maybe his plan will help me out.
I like the idea of us all just getting huge. I don't think it'll happen because of oxygen, mm-hmm. but it could happen because of nutrition, right? Or mm-hmm. we all just get really fit thanks to Bill.
Right.
So, Bill, what do you say, Mr. Fitness Nerd? What would you do how do you feel about a world where we all become huge?
Well, I think that it probably won't be the oxygen, but it may be something like the ooze from Ninja Turtles. It could happen. Or
the ooze.
Instead of ooze. Some sort of genetic thing where we are combined with dinosaur DNA to become bigger.
Eddie P. in the chat room points out bigger people equals less space, and we already have a very crowded world. Tasha, are you worried that we're all going to get too large?
No, because when we're huge and dinosaur-like, we're all going to be running around like in the video game Rampage, like picking each other up and eating each other.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be like this no-holds-barred survival of the fittest dino-on-dino action. I think it's going to be a lot more exciting. I think the sporting events are going to be a lot more exciting.
So it'll be self-regulating.
Oh, also, I mean, isn't the whole idea of like the hyperbaric chamber with the oxygen that it like youthens you and like keeps your skin young? Aren't we all going to be young forever in this oxygen-rich environment?
Yeah, now that might be. Something else makes us huge. The oxygen keeps us young. And the cosmetics industry just goes out of business.
We're huge and young and we've killed Maybelline.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Pretty good day.
Too big to fail, Maybelline. Bail them out. All right, let's move on to our short-term predictions. These are things you think will happen sooner rather than later, maybe in the next few years. And Tasha, we will start with you. What is your short-term prediction?
Okay, well, if you're familiar with the phenomenon of the Japanese pop star Hatsune Miku, or actually if you've seen some of the things that gorillas have been doing in their
UK concerts.
We've
talked about both of them on this show before, actually.
Yes, so this idea of the three-dimensional hologram as art and entertainment, essentially, I'm fascinated with this. I really want to see somebody bring this to the States. And honestly, right now, if I had $10 million... Actually, if I had $10 million, I'd go on a long vacation and throw a huge party. But then the rest of the money, I would invest in this technology. Because I think in the short term, what we're going to see is more and more people designing animated shows that can be put on in 3D in this way. You know, I think somebody is going to come along if the nostalgia, 80s nostalgia craze holds, and turn Gem into a three-dimensional hologram, like, live show for kids. Any cartoon you can imagine could be turned into, you know, 3D interactive. You know, go see Blue of Blue's Clues live on stage. Kids would eat that up. I think it's also got a lot of potential in terms of simulcasts. I mean, if you think of, like, you know, Justin Bieber or whoever his equivalent is going to be in 10 years performing in Madison Square Garden, and then it's simulcast via 3D hologram. So it's like, you know, you're sitting in Topeka, but Justin Bieber is going to come to your town and sing up in your face. I think that that's one of the things I'm looking forward to in the near entertainment future, is the idea of this, you know, either simulcast or touring, like, 3D holograms of everything.
All right, so I got an idea for you, Tasha, and you tell me what you think about this. So I absolutely love your idea. I've seen this stuff in Japan and just think it's awesome. And only in Japan, it seems like these things can come. And I don't know that we're ready culturally for this stuff yet in a mainstream way. Maybe holographic Bieber's the way we start. I don't know. Holographic Bieber's, by the way, don't have to do paternity tests. But anyway,
Holographic Bieber's going to be the name of my new pop band.
but here's what I'm thinking. Why not play to the nostalgia of people? Why not say, okay, let's say it's 30 years from now, and all the members of Kiss have long passed on. But I remember being 16 and loving that Kiss show I saw in the Salt Palace in 1988 or whatever it was. Is it, how possible would it be in your scenario to bring back these classic bands, to recreate them in such a way holographically that they are like the real thing, and we can kind of go back and see Van Halen when they were still together, or awesome, you know, group or band.
Beatles.
The original Beatles.
With the Beatles, it's harder than with Kiss, because, you know, Kiss doesn't look like people. The members of Kiss, you don't have that uncanny valley thing going on where you might with the members of the Beatles, because you have to make them look like people. With Kiss, that's just a skin. So I think with Kiss, it would be really easy. With just about anybody else, I think if you had the footage in some form, you could go in and there'd just be a new kind of, the equivalent of film restoration would be going in and taking this old Beatles footage, fleshing it out, making it 3D, making it high def, expanding it to holographic versions. But then, yeah, eventually you've got, you know, the live recreated version that's just as glossy as your Japanese pop star. I think that's entirely doable.
Bill, do you want to see 3D rock stars?
Yeah, I think that would be really neat. Now, with 3D TVs, I'm not really interested in that sort of thing in my house or anything. But I think if I had a little 3D projector and I could have that sort of holographic experience in my house and my friends could crowd around it, I think that would be really neat. That is something that is really interesting to me.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting part that I hadn't thought of, which is you could have the ability to go to arenas and see the holographic Bieber, or you could have pay-per-view in your house, and he's just, like, standing in your living room doing his show.
Yeah. He could maybe do my dishes or something.
Honey. So Gene Simmons, full
clean
makeup.
Up the table. No, holographic Bieber will do it for me.
Sold.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, Bill, let's move to you and your short-term prediction. What do you think is going to happen sooner rather than later?
I have another technological advancement that I'm really looking forward to. So you guys have probably seen the Litros light field camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can take a picture and you don't focus. After the fact, you can pick the focal point. Well, I think in the next 10 years or so, not only could you probably pick the focal point, but have the camera just snap a moment in time, and then in post-production, pick where it's focused on, the aperture, the depth of field, the shutter speed, the ISO, all of that stuff could be done after the fact. And all the photographer has to do is worry about capturing moment in light and time.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of attempts to do this now, right? Like we have lots of tools, camera software, companies all claiming to do this in real time, to give you real time effects, real time filters, real time, lots of things, depth of field or whatever. And all of it's a little janky, like they're not quite there yet, but it reminds me of maybe, like, I don't know, voice recognition. It was terrible 10 years ago, and now it's actually pretty functional and workable. Is it that kind of path you figure? And really just, you think 10 years, I think maybe less, maybe five. Yeah. Why so long?
I made up the number 10. there's a company called Soviet Montage Productions. They did HDR video by sending the image into a lens, into a beam splitter that sent the image to two cameras. And they recorded each image as a different exposure so that they could in post make it into HDR video. So I could see now carrying around two cameras with a beam splitter isn't really practical now, but in 5 to 10 years, that could be a teeny little thing that just attaches to your camera or it already is built into a camera.
Tasha, what do you say to, imagine, for example, a pen in your pocket that you could just pick up and snap that shot in front of the Eiffel Tower with your whole family there and capture this amazing moment. And then somehow, either in real time or in post-production, this thing is automatically made to be the greatest looking photo you've ever taken. How do you feel about that future?
I feel like we're already pretty much there, given, you know, Photoshop and the ability to manipulate images. I think taking a step further, I think within 5 years, it's more likely that you might have like that camera built into your glasses or your hat or your necklace or whatever. And, you know, as you're walking down the street, you see something that's neat, you know, something unrepeatable, like a horrible car crash that you want to be witness to, or somebody releases a herd of doves because you stepped into a John Woo movie. And your necklace, that happens to me all the time. So your necklace or your headband, your glasses or whatever is recording all of that. And you can just say, you know, isolate that moment, print it. Now you have a photo. You didn't have a camera in your hand, but you have the capacity to, you know, to preserve that moment anyway. And that's when you want to go in and, you know, mess with your aperture and focus. And, you know, right. I was actually looking a little bit to the left, but maybe you could rotate that photo a little to the right, you know, whatever.
Now, Bill, Mr. Anderson in the chat room says HDR cameras are out. They shoot dual video streams. How is what you're talking different from that?
The one that the guys at Soviet Montage do, they use two cameras so that they can do two whole stops up of exposure and two whole stops down of exposure. And going further into HDR, there are people that'll do three or five exposures. They just didn't have five cameras to hook up to it. Though built in with cameras we have nowadays, some of the HDR processing is sort of fudged. It's not using actual different exposures to put them together. So it's a matter of just like coming up with a higher quality one. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're taking a single exposure and splitting it and reprocessing
it. And what are you predicting is going to end up happening?
I think that we'll have one camera that does all of that, kind of like we see the DSLRs now that do really good video and images. And you'll have that one camera where you just point it at an area, capture all of the light coming into it, and then in the future when you're looking through all that photo, then you can go and pick, focus on different subjects and focus on a different depth. And change the exposure, not just the one or two stops of exposure you have with current raw image technology, but you could go up, you know, 1/60th of a second or 1/6000th of a second on your exposure.
So almost unlimited stops.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's crazy stuff. That'd be cool. Yeah. I thought it was crazy when they came out with the Lytro. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that feels like we're already living in the future right there.
And the cameras that we're using on our phones, even. I mean, I just, you know, as not to overhype it, but the camera on this my iPhone 4S is fantastic.
Hell, and does phones incredible that work. We carry around in our pockets.
Right, these crappy little things that used to be stupid, you know, and now they do images that are worth taking and look good, and same with video. And that seems like if we keep going down this path of incremental improvement, we'll get to where you know, where Bill says we're going to get.
Another thing that feels like the future is our sponsor and Ford AppLink, because you're able to just talk to your car. This is better than a 1980s television show, okay? I mean, you're not going to get any mysteries and adventures solved, possibly, but it's a whole lot safer, and it actually works a lot better than Kit. It's called Sync AppLink. Enables you to control select apps from your smartphone with simple voice commands. You keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road, like you should, but you're able to tell your car, not only like send a text message, read a text message, all the things that you know Sync can do, but you can control apps as well with AppLink. They have a Pandora app, for instance, so you can create a channel on the fly, thumbs things up, thumbs down. You have, what's it called, OpenBeak, that can read your Twitter timeline to you, read your app replies, so you can keep up if you're waiting for that particular Twitter message, or you just want to check in and see what people are doing. Check out OpenBeak. They're making all kinds of apps for AppLink. They're working with the developers with an API platform that allows Ford to continue to bring apps to life with voice in your vehicle. So go check it out on the 2012 Ford Fiesta or visit Ford.com/technology. AppLink is available on select models and compatible with select smartphone platforms. And remember, don't drive while distracted. That's the nice thing about Sync. You don't have to take your eyes off the road. So drive safe, drive in the future with Sync AppLink from Ford. We thank them for their support of Forecast. Let's move to the long-term predictions, and Bill, we'll start with you this time. More of the in 100 years, what do you have for us?
Well, I just played the game Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Yeah. Yep, Revolution. Yep.
So I'm really interested in robotic body augmentations right now. Got it on the mind. And now that game took place in the next 20 years or so, but I'm thinking even further beyond that, the kind of robotic additions we can make to our bodies, how much of our bodies will replace by that, and all of the social and biological issues that would come along with it. I think it's totally inevitable. It's going to happen. I mean, we already see people with their Bluetooth headsets crammed in their ear, and they don't take them out. They leave them in all the time. We have, people wear glasses. That's kind of like an augmentation. You can get contact lenses implanted into your eyeballs now, which is really neat. So we're starting down that path, and I think it's only going to get crazier and crazier until we are most people are robotic in some way.
So do you see them mostly as, I mean, cybernetics comes up on the show all the time, mm-hmm. but do you see them as mostly utilitarian? Like, okay, well, this one helps me see better, or this one provides light when there is none, or this one gives me strength in my arm because I work in a warehouse and I got to lift heavy boxes? Or do you see them as more, we are going to build a race of superhumans because they're augmented to be such?
And is your hat part of your augmentation right now?
My hat, this gives me +10 to strength. So yes.
It's good sheet, good help.
I see it going, I think it would start as more of a utilitarian thing, as a need. The people that we see now getting replacement parts are because they lost it in an accident or something, and they'll get a replacement arm or whatever. So I think that's probably where it's going to start. But then not even totally broken things. Some people, myself included, and Scott has this problem too. You know what I mean, Scott?
Mm.
Your eyes.
My eyes suck.
They do suck, and I have to wear glasses and contacts because of it, and so do you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could, if I had the opportunity to get robotic eyes, man, I'm on board right away.
But don't you want some testing first, right? You want a few other guinea pigs to go through this before you do it.
I am not going to be the first person to get robotic eyes.
Yeah.
I agree. But yeah, when that's a mainstream thing, if that's a really viable way to fix my nearsighted vision, I'm on board. Totally.
And then, Tasha, how do you feel about the future of cybernetics, and what would you have augmented to make you more than human?
Well, we'll start with my robotic eyes are going to have those cameras in them. So mm-hmm. whatever I look at, I can just take pictures of. And then I don't have to carry around that bulky phone that's the size of a deck of cards. I can just, I don't know, wink at something or whatever. And then I have a photograph of it, which my eyes will, of course, automatically adjust the f-stop and all that. That would be the first thing. I could probably use better knees. You know, knees in people who use their legs a lot tend to go out by age 40. The people are already getting, you know, replacement knees, replacement hips when theirs go out. I might just have all my joints replaced. I've always wanted to be double jointed. That would be fun. And I could just be sort of ahead of the crowd when it comes to, you know, getting better knees and better hips. I don't want to wait till I'm 80 and I fall down the stairs.
You could be quadruple jointed. You don't have to stop at double.
Oh, good point.
You could go nuts.
Well, and you don't have to have any stops in your eyes because you can just use that camera that Bill was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's you just, you get all of the information from all of the light that's out there, and then you process it and save it in your hard drive brain.
Well, really? I want the hard drive brain so much, more than anything you've ever talked about on the show. I want the hard drive brain that will allow me to remember things better because my memory is terrible, mm-hmm. and that will let me swap my language center in and out. So, you know, if I want to speak Japanese today, I'll just swap in that disc. That's the other augmentation that I would just be totally behind.
And when we say hard drive brain, people, we just use it as a metaphor. We're obviously not going to have magnetic discs. We won't need SpinRite for our heads. We're just saying, you know, storage. Okay, we're talking storage in our head. Go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to kind of play off of that. I with hard drive prices as they are and their reliability a little bit suspect. I got real excited about solid state technology because thinking, okay, well, maybe that could lead to getting a small, 80 gig chip in your head just to store more recent memories or something to help people with memory problems or whatever. But then we get that study saying that. Those drives have no longer of a lifespan overall than hard drives seem to do on average. I don't know what the future thing is. I don't know what the new put it in my brain and let's augment my memory thing is going to be. So in this future, hopefully we'll have that figured out because right now it is a bit of a problem. The stuff we use now is unreliable at best. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah, because a bad sector could literally blow your mind.
Right.
By the way, that joke was written by Infallible in the chat room. I stole it.
Give credit to the terrible joke writer himself. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible joke.
another thing we might have to deal with, too, is people being born already cybernetic. They'll pop out of the womb and already have sort of their DNA written by the electronics of their parents.
Like a 3D printer.
Kind of like a 3D printer, only a baby.
Just print your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Hopefully those augmentations aren't particularly bulky or pointy.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm sure we can fix all of that. And on that note, we'll switch to Tasha's long-term prediction. These are the sort of like the flying cars, print out your baby sort of things. What do you got?
Okay, so I think within the next 100 years, probably considerably less than that, we're going to see the first international, like, summer action type blockbuster made entirely by one person at home on their computer, self-distributed. Pretty much just, look at this, I made a movie. It's better than Wolverine, and now it's out there for people to, you know, download and pay me a buck for. I think you talk a lot on the show about sort of the democratization of media, you know, how these days, if you're a cartoonist, you can just, you know, make the comic and put it up. You don't have to worry about syndication you don't have to worry about the syndicates. You don't have to get anybody's permission. You can just take it to the audience. These days, if you write a song, you can sit down with your computer. You can, you know, put a full symphony orchestra on it without ever actually meeting another human being. I think that movies are going to go the same way. And I think we're already seeing some of that on YouTube with the special effects you can do in your home. I think eventually somebody's going to be able to sit down on their computer, make a movie that is visually as good as anything in theaters right now, and then just kind of put it out there into the marketplace of ideas and see whether it floats. And eventually we're going to get something that's some really talented person is going to put out, and it's going to be better than anything else out there, and it's going to make that person $300 million.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I'm in the middle of playing a video game, Uncharted 3.
You should really be paying attention to the show, Scott.
No. See, here's the point. I'm bringing it back around. Bringing it back.
Oh, you're
around.
Not playing it right this second.
No, not this second. I'm sitting here playing a video game, and I heard nothing of what you said. No, I really believe that we're starting to see in video games the capability with the right people, the right talent, and the right effort. We're seeing people tell stories that have been either on par or superseded what a film could do, partially because they're interactive and you get to participate, but also the storytelling, the characters, the dialogue, the acting, that's all getting better. And this year we saw two major releases that I think really illustrate that, one being Uncharted 2 and the other being L.A. Noire. And both of those use some pretty cool technology to help further that as well. I think that it's not far from the tree at all to say that we will continue to see that convergence. And because these things are, they may be, you know, a $200 million game right now, those kinds of effects, technologies, and techniques might become more commonplace and more common man in a short amount of time. And we'll have tools in our hands to let us create all sorts of crazy stuff and fulfill your dream. But I feel like it's going to come from that. It's going to come from other creative avenues, not the super sort of controlled lockdown Hollywood system, but it's going to come from other stuff, be it video games or in other interactive storytelling mediums. And that's where that talent will come from. That also will be where the tools come from that become affordable and, you know, available for me and a guy like Tom to make a movie together.
I think this is definitely a prediction that's going to happen. I'm excited about this happening because I think we are headed to a point where the technology can take away the barriers of having to know non-relevant skills to tell your story. And that's not to take anything away from the people who are good at lighting, the people who are good at all of the things that we have to be good at to make movies now, like set design and all of that. I think all of those are important, but I think there can be technology that allows us to make very good effects, very good stories without having to know those things. Just like we don't need to have people who are good at processing films so that it looks just the right way now that we have digital technology. That's what technology does. As you go, certain skills become more artisan skills and less necessary skills. And that doesn't mean they're less valuable. It just means they're valuable in a different way for a different effect. That's why people still shoot on black and white film. But thankfully, we have the ability to not have to use black and white film. I think that's what's going to happen here. And I don't think the number of people who can make a summer blockbuster alone are going to be very many. In fact, they may not be more than you can count on one hand. But I think it'll prove that this technology has matured when we see this. I'm excited about this prediction, Tasha. What do you think, Bill?
I think that whenever someone tries to create anything, like write something or do something visual, you've always got this image in your head, and it's amazing in your head. And I think that the better technology gets, the easier it will become to take that perfect image in your brain and turn it into something real. And I think that's the real challenge with how you're sort of interpreting your idea. I know I've made things before, and the end product was nothing like what it was in my head. Maybe because I'm inept, but also maybe because the tools I had weren't designed to interpret an idea into a finished piece as well as they could have been.
That's why I like this idea so much, is the idea that your storytelling is on trial, not your ability to use a particular piece of equipment well or not. And so you won't be able to hide the flaws of the storytelling behind certain things that you can now. So that's another side of it as well.
Well, it's true of comics right now, and it's true of writing. Everybody's in the middle of this national month of writing. I know Tom is and others. And think about, just go back 200 years, right? And just explain to people at the time, no, where I come from, I can write anytime I want about anything I want. And publishing is not a problem. In fact, other people are doing it for me. All I got to do is just write it, upload it. And in many cases, I've paid nothing and it'll just happen. This all happened. There's no giant room full of a huge press and only a very select number of people ever get to send anything to that press. And that just doesn't, you know, to them, you would be a witch and they would burn you at the freaking stake. I think that the day will come where, like Tom says, if writers, like now, if they want to write, they have no barrier other than their ability to tell a story that's compelling. And that's it. It's the only barrier they have. The other barrier is that you got to get noticed. You got to have people find out who you are. But if you're that good, you'll rise to the top. And it's the same, you know, it's the same with any of these other things, filmmaking, whatever. I'm stoked about that prediction.
Now let's remove the barrier of rationality and move to our crazy ass predictions. These are the really far out there forecasts. And this time we'll start with you, Tasha. What is your craziest prediction?
Okay, in the short term, we've already seen genetically engineered pets. That's already started up. We now have bioluminescent fish that glow in the dark. An artist back in 2000 created a bioluminescent rabbit. These things are being done already. I think sort of as we go into the shorter term future, the next 100 years or so, we're going to see a lot of sort of presets for that kind of thing, where you can go into a store and buy, say, perma kittens or perma puppies that never grow up and always stay like tiny and cute.
Permanent neoteny.
That sounds so much more... permanent neoteny sounds vaguely dirty in a way that the permakitten just sounds cute.
That's right. Neoteny is not a very neotenous word.
No.
I think the far future version of this is going to reach a point where you can just basically pull out your phone or, you know, think really hard to the hard drive in your head or whatever the equivalent of it is and basically order up anything you want, you know, just... purely custom. You've decided that you want a lap giraffe like the one from the DirecTV ads, but you want it to be purple. You want it to have six legs. You want it to have a series of little ruffs down its neck like a frilled lizard. Maybe you want it to have wings. You just program all of this in and the biolab puts one together. The price probably depends on how well all of those pieces, you know, blend together in the gene vats. And then it just spits it out and sends it to your home.
Wow. So you could probably take it old photos of your favorite pet growing up. You could take it a couple of things you didn't like about that pet. Well, he got a little rough in the house or he chewed that couch up. So we take that stuff out. I mean, do you see it as a way of literally sort of gourmet cooking your own perfect pet? And you can play with some nostalgia, but play with some improvements and that sort of thing.
I mean, with the behavioral thing, that would take longer because, you know, the gene lab has to actually train it and that would cost more. You know, your little purple winged frill giraffe may not be housebroken when it comes straight out of the vat. So that's a whole nother issue.
Like
you might have to send it off to the trainer. I mean, like, you could probably tell the gene vets that you want your own Pikachu, and they'll whip you up a little yellow mouse with the right markings. But, you know, if you want it to actually, like, bounce around and say Pikachu all the time, that's going to take training. Then you send it off to the exotic pet trainer.
So I can genetically engineer my Pandaren monk pet, but I can't make it act like Jack Black from Kung Fu Panda.
No.
You could order your own Jack Black.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, that does seem like sort of a natural outgrowth. I mean, it occurred to me, thinking about perma kittens, there's no reason you couldn't have perma babies. You know, all of these people out there that don't say, I want to have kids. They say, I want to have a baby because I love babies and babies are cute. You just breed something that looks like a baby and is always cute, but doesn't, you know, grow up. And
but it's not actually human?
Yes. Well, it wouldn't be human and it wouldn't be intelligent.
Okay.
It would just be cute all the time. And, you know, maybe it wouldn't make nearly as much of a mess in the diaper.
Oh, man. Could you imagine? That's the first thing you find out on a date is that your person, you know, you've gone to see is one of the perma baby people. And then you have to realize, okay, what does this mean about them?
Yeah. Weird.
Well, supposedly...
He's been living at home for 40 years and has 15 perma babies.
They're people that, you know. Dragon. There are guys that borrow, you know, a dog to go walk because, walking a dog out in the park, that works double for babies. There are people, supposedly, at least that's what film tells me, that borrow babies because you go out into the park with a baby in a stroller and all the women pay attention to you. So you take out your perma baby and it's, you know, it's no trouble. It's not going to cry because that's been programmed out of it. But it's really cute and everybody wants to see it. Suddenly you've got an attention piece, a conversation piece.
Bill, have you found this to be true? When you borrow babies, do you get hit on a lot?
Oh, constantly. That's why I only have one or two babies that I keep around, and I only really take them out every couple of weeks. Other than that, they're doing my dishes with holographic Justin Bieber.
This is a fascinating prediction because it starts with something that sounds fairly reasonable. Custom pets. Yeah, we got genetic engineering, but you've taken it beyond just the custom pets and with perma kittens and perma babies. I think you're onto something. You should patent this.
Who says I haven't?
I don't. I'm not. Not me. Scott, you're silent.
I'm quiet on this one because I'm just thinking about the possibilities.
You're going to order all of your Warcraft pets, aren't you?
And you know, I mean, that's the point. Is it doesn't really have. I mean, what you're talking about is a replicator for everything. So we see replicators on Star Trek and go, oh, I could go for a steak dinner. Bleep, there it is. But those people never really thought about the ramifications of what you could do. In theory, the replicator, even on the Enterprise, could, you know, poop out whatever animal they wanted. Like you could cause
it. Was there ever any proof it could produce living things?
Well, they never did. I don't want to say never, because I bet you there's something somewhere where it was malfunctioning and it was, you know, popping out tribbles or something. I don't know for sure, though. I wish I could say that for sure definitively. But it, in theory, it could, because unless there's some rules, I'm sure they had some rules, or they will have rules that will sort of stop people from just making dogs and cats in that thing. But in theory, it should be able to. It reproduces the molecular structure of whatever you tell it to make. And I don't see why a living thing couldn't be that way. And teleporters and the way those work, there's all sorts of possibilities. But if you really could harness that power, it would never stop. And people would start making, you know, if this sounds morbid, but let's say you lost a baby at childbirth. Well, what's to stop you from replicating a new one based on whatever information you have?
Woman, Erin Gray, hot.
Right. Erin Gray, hot. That is fantastic, Tom.
Jean Grey, hot.
Jean Grey, even better.
Wow.
All right, let's move on to the crazy ass prediction from you, Bill. This is your third hat and your third prediction. For those of you in the audio podcast, he's gone. What was the first one? It was kind of a Russian looking military hat.
That was my steampunk hat.
Steampunk hat. Then pirate hat or tricorner at least.
Yep.
And now army helmet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have no idea what you're talking about, Tom.
Yes, of course not.
I've been wearing the same hat the whole time.
What is your crazy ass prediction? I'm sorry, I divulged your secret.
Well, I actually, in a very similar vein as the previous prediction, I'm all for the replicator thing, but there are two things about it that I am predicting. Replicators will replace the food processor as the default gift for weddings, and we will need to harness the mass, power, pressure, and heat of a sun going supernova to create those heavier elements. And then there'll be accidents. There'll be tiny suns going nova on the surface of our planet. But eventually we'll get replicators for wedding gifts.
Wow. Replicators as wedding gifts. So that means that, like now, people are assuming I don't have a good toaster oven solution at home. Mm-hmm. So they bring to my wedding a crappy toaster oven. Will it be like that, where like I can have a much nicer replicator that does like full turkeys at Thanksgiving and it's super nice? And then there's also crummy little ones that can do hot dogs and burgers and stuff.
I told you we should have registered. We got 12 replicators.
That's, and no fondue pots.
Yeah, there'll be different quality replicators. But, you know, you'll have those really highfalutin weddings and they'll get a very, very nice replicator. But that's also why you have registries, so that you don't get more than one replicator.
Yeah.
Or you get two. You get one for your man cave for making hot dogs and beer. And then you have one upstairs for, you know, fine dining and that sort of thing.
Wow. Yeah, I wonder if there's quality differences in the food that different replicators created.
Well, there would have to be.
Yeah.
There would
like
have
multiplicity?
To be.
I mean, could you actually use your nice replicator to produce another replicator, which would possibly be a little crappier?
You can use a MakerBot to make the parts for another MakerBot.
Yeah, that's how we get to Stargate and the replicators that end up overrunning the universe and taking over all of us.
Oh, the copyright problems this poses, just the idea.
Oh, yeah.
You copied my replicator.
Everything is infinitely copyable.
Copyright is over.
That changes that completely, but...
Well, I mean, wedding presents may be over. If you've got replicator technology and you can produce anything you want, including other replicators, what's the point of a present?
Yeah.
There's
one present. It's a replicator. Oh. Everybody pitches in on it. You've got everything else you need.
Well,
you know how good your friends are by how good the replicator is.
Yeah.
You've got to use a lot of mass to... it doesn't come from nowhere. So you can start with a whole bunch of hydrogen and then, you know, compress it down to fuse it to the heavier element. So you do have to have some sort of fuel for it.
Right.
It doesn't come from nowhere.
So they can buy you small supernovas to have on hand.
So those heavier elements would be more expensive.
Yeah.
The things made from, instead of a platinum wedding ring, maybe a plutonium wedding ring.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
And I wouldn't recommend it.
It's a wedding ring and it could power your replicator.
So that's just like the ultimate good wedding present now, is like a giant brick of plutonium to power the replicators that you already have.
Oh, you remembered.
I got married in the 90s, and you know what we did? We went to the stupid registry and we cashed everything in for jeans. I bought a bunch of pants. That's literally what we did, because we didn't have any clothes when we got married.
I've heard you tell this
story
before.
Scott is still wearing those jeans today.
To this day.
We did because we were like, well, geez, what do we need the most of? Well, we're just getting out on our own. We don't have a ton of clothes. This just gets clothes. So people bought, fancy silverware and all this crap I'm never going to use. And instead we got clothes. So maybe we need clothes replicators in your weird future.
All right. In the future, those pants will be plutonium pants.
That's right. It might be right now.
Plutonium pants is the name of my... Oh, I had it.
Who's your wrestling name in high school, no?
Plutonium. Yeah, Plutonium Pants. Oh, I can't remember his name. Oh, my Thomas Dolby cover band. All right. Nice. Let's move on and give you a gift. Netflix free for 30 days. Netflix.com/twit. We thank them for their support of Forecast. Time now for four questions.
Four questions. That's where we ask our guests four questions in rapid fire style. They are not allowed to slow down and answer them slowly. They have to answer them from the gut, and they have to be sitting comfortably. I'm going to start by asking my questions of Tasha. Tasha, are you sitting comfortably right now?
No, I am hunched forward in anticipation.
All right. Then let's begin. Question number one for you, which is for some reason Google Docs is playing games with me. Here we go. When will 3D finally die so we can get back to the business of great movies without 3D?
As soon as somebody creates the 4D camera, and then all movies are going to be in 4D as a fad for a while.
Remember Brilliant. To recycle your 4D glasses.
Yep. We're going to have to be breaking a lot of walls, though, every time we see a movie. Breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, the fifth
which
wall.
Which would you rather commute in, a hover train or a personal jetpack?
A personal jetpack. Come on. Why? I'm going to end up like in the crappy seat on the hover train with like a crying baby sitting next to me on one side and a crying perma baby on the other side. No, I want to be able to control. I want to be able to do like loop de loops on my way to work every day. Of course, I want like the personal conveyance.
Crying perma baby. Weird idea. In 100 years, when they write a symphony about your life, which do you hope there's more of, brass or strings?
Strings. I love the sweetness of strings. I want my life to make people cry, and not to make them like, get up and start dancing like they do on Treme.
All right. And your final question. When aliens take over, what thing of ours will they be the most perplexed by?
Perma babies. They're going to be
like, I'm perplexed
hell
by them
is,
right now.
What is with your species' obsession with small versions of yourself? Why, yeah. Like, in our culture, giant versions of ourselves are considered cute. That's why we have so much oxygen.
Nice job. You have officially passed four questions, Tom. I hand you the baton.
Bill, are you sitting comfortably?
Yes, I am.
Good. Then we'll begin. Question number one. How long will humanity last? Give me a year.
Oh, my. 1,200 more years.
1,200. Okay, good.
Exactly.
Question number two. Which will come first, sentient life visiting us from space or an additional species on Earth gaining sentience?
The species on Earth.
Comes from within. We should be exploring.
And it's not
the
monkeys
oceans.
Either. Not monkeys.
Not monkeys. I like the specificity.
It's sea monkeys.
Sea monkeys. Mm-hmm. They're already sentient. I said species that... No, okay. Question number three. How near is the singularity?
Oh, that's even closer than the end of us. Well, 1,200 years. There we go.
It's like going to happen, and then
it's happening exactly
but like,
the same
just
time.
A little too late, and we're all dead.
I should say 1,199 years. Okay. Singularity, 1,200, we're all gone.
Wow, the singularity didn't work very well. Question number four, in 1,000 years, how will Wheaton be remembered?
A giant statue, like the one of, is there a giant gold one of, Michael Jackson, like
RoboCop.
That.
Oh, all right.
The RoboCop.
There is a statue of RoboCop in Detroit.
Yeah. I know, in Detroit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So Will Wheaton will be. There'll be a statue of him, and that will say, "There's the statue of Will Wheaton, a great man."
Yep.
And he'll have it'll be older though.
Okay. So we're talking open source. Will
60. Yeah, but he'll have a big bushy beard, and he'll be standing proud.
Excellent. I like it. I'm remembering him that way right now. Brings a little tear to my eye. All right. Well, thank you both for being on Forecast. I really appreciate it. We have come to the end of our predicting. But Tasha Robinson, thank you. And let folks know where they can find what you do online.
Well, I write for avclub.com. You can find me on Twitter at Tasha Robinson. And you can hear the AV Club's podcast, Reasonable Discussions, where I spend a lot of time discussing some of the stuff you've covered today, including the democratization of media and the future of home filmmaking and the death of film as a medium. You can find it all at Reasonable Discussions, either through iTunes or at avclub.com.
Excellent. And Bill Durant, thank you for being on as well. Let folks know where they can find hats like the ones you own and what you do online.
Thank you for having me. Online, I build replica props. I built recently a BSG pistol.
Ooh,
and I have a mold of that. And I'm currently working on a Mass Effect pistol. You can find out more about that at punishedprops.com or facebook.com/punishedprops. And I'm currently taking commissions. You can also find me on Twitter at Chinbeard and at anothershow.com, which is a podcast that I do with my pal Dodd Vickers.
Excellent. Scott Johnson, thank you as usual. Anything to let folks know about?
Yeah, I'm going to say this. So the award-winning Frog Pants Network, we won 3 podcast awards, which I'm really proud of. But I want to point people to the fact that today Google Plus decided to let people make pages and business pages and that sort of thing. I am putting up all the shows over there. So if anyone is interested, go check out FilmSack or The Instance or The Morning Stream or Frog Pants in general. All that stuff is now
award-winning podcasts, I might add.
Award-winning podcasts, all available now on Google Plus. And if that's how you sort of track what's going on in your social circles and that's where you want to find out when new shows are going live, that sort of thing, great place to be for that. So check it out.
That is it for us on Forecast, folks, but you don't have to stop predicting. Go make your own predictions on our website, forecastpodcast.com, or you can email them to us, forecastpodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
But it's only 32 years away.
Wait. Tasha's into it.
Yeah. Woo. That was great, you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you thought so. I had a lot of fun, too.
I'm glad I had enough hats.
I thought when you put the first hat on, I was like, uh-oh, it's going to be rapid change. But it was one for prediction. I think that was a good pace.
I'm feeling deeply hat-deprived over here, I have to admit.
I know. Me too.
I've got a bunch of baseball hats at home. I did the same sort of shtick on the NSFW show, and I was kind of missing them. I was like, oh, I should have gone and stole Leo's hats. He's got a bunch over there.
Yeah, he's the hat guy. Look, my cowboy hat doesn't fit very well over head.
Hat man.
There we go.
Yeah, not bad.
Hey, you know, is it a little small?
I'm neither Red Dead or Redemptive. What? It is only I have the headphones
on. Because it looks good, but it doesn't look like it's sitting down. Oh, that's why. Because the headphones
are there. You go.
Oh, that looks good. Yeah.
But then I can't hear you.
I mean, that looks awful. He can't hear me.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Oh, Scott, right. My brother, I have a twin brother who texted me. He wanted me to tell you Furt.
He's a big fan. Tell him Furt right back at him. I think that is it's a secret word, and he is now part of the club. Tell him that.
Woot.
Okay. I think he's watching, so.
Furt.
Fantastic.
Woot ain't got nothing on Furt.
Nope.
I'm just going to sit here until All About Android shows up.
I have to go to work, so I will talk to you fine folks later.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Tasha. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Tasha.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Scott.
See you, Tom.
Let's do it again next week.